Hello, this is Victoria Warfel with Service Dog Success, the best podcast out there for all things service dog related. And I'm talking to you while I'm driving to the dentist this morning. I figured I would kill two birds with one stone and multitask. So you might hear some driving directions along the way, but know that I'm on my way for a tooth cleaning. This time I didn't crack any crowns, so I'm pretty impressed with myself. Well, we'll make sure that there's none that crack that I didn't know about once we get there. But like I said, on my way there, and it's about a half hour drive. So perfect time for a podcast. And what are we going to talk about today? Is going to be dogs at the beach, because that's where we were over the weekend. It was super fun. Rich and Jamie and I went over and brought Magic. I actually left Bert behind. And brought Jamie's dog, Oliver, and two of his board and trains, Jax and Poppy. So it was three people, four dogs. We left on Thursday and we came back on Sunday. And it's only less than 2 hours away from where we live. So it works out good. When I think about it, that's the same distance it would take from Gainesville to get to Disney. And so we moved, because about an hour away works a lot easier. You know, there's still about an hour to Orlando and then just another hour to get over here. So yeah, it works out pretty good. But this is the second time that we've had dogs at the beach. The first time it was Oliver and Bert and Magic. And why Bert didn't come this time, because we were ready to bring him, was a friend was down, Shane. And she's been working with landmine detection dogs and with descent discrimination and all. And before we went down on Tuesday and Thursday last week, Bert had a scent trial. So she came in Wednesday morning and she came with me to the scent trial, and I have to cheerlead. Well, you have to cheerlead Bert a lot for the scent trials. You know, at home he does a little bit better, but at the trials he really needs to be cheerleaded, and we don't like that. So she was saying, you know, why don't you capture the search a little bit more? And I was like, that's a really good idea. And sometimes I can be a little clueless on things, so I need somebody to remind me. So it worked out really good. And she had offered to work him because she was staying. And then Sam came in and, you know, everyone worked a little bit extra time so Rich and I could get away, because we don't get away all that often. And Bert stayed with Shane to benefit from, you know, working with some more scent stuff. Because while we do the medical alert part of it, quite often the competitiveness and the search pattern, like, I don't do all that often, because, you know, for medical alert service dogs that are scent based, it's a little bit different, right? Everything's a little bit different, which is why I'm a little confused whenever people are like, well, I can train this, therefore I can train that. Well, no, like, you need help. And Sam and Rich and I have just been kind of stumbling along, and Jamie, with how we're doing these scent trials. We didn't take any classes or anything for it. And again, like, it doesn't mean that I know everything. It's just, you know, how are we going to do this? Let's see what makes sense. And he's got two of his advanced scent titles already, and he's just one away from the other two. But we thought, it's worth it more that he misses this beach trip, Bert, and stays with Shane and works on that than him coming with us. So he stayed behind, which was odd, not having my service dog with me. I mean, I had Rich and Jamie and I had Ollie. We had Poppy and we had Jax, but and Magic, but it was still strange not having him, but a good strange. And like I said, he worked with her, which was great. So I was just ready to, I just got his harness on him. It's a different harness than what he uses for mobility tasks. We had just got his harness on him and we were ready to go. And my alarm went off, because in the morning I have to set my alarm based on what calls or what things I have during the day, so I don't forget about it. Or I would have forgotten about my dental appointment, because I was just about ready to work him with scent some. So Tara's going to work him with scent while I'm gone. And then whenever I come back, we're going to work them together. See how he's doing, see what they were working on. But what did we do with the dogs with the beach? So first thing is, while we're at the beach, we get up at ungodly early in the morning. This time it was 6:15 in the morning is when we set the alarm, get up, put swimsuits on, brush teeth, brush hair, get out the door. We don't even have breakfast. We want to get there so like the sun just rose. We got to the beach. We have the dogs on a long line. And we have their e-collars on, and we take them out onto the beach. There are some dog-friendly beaches. Some beaches, now you have to know what beach you're at, right? So some of them are dog-friendly, so the dogs can be off-leash. Some of them, the dogs can be there, but they have to be on-leash, and some are no dogs unless they're service dogs. So last time when we went, we brought Ollie and Bert and Magic, me and Jamie, to the beach for the morning. And then the next day, because I think we went two more days, maybe three, but the next time I think we left Magic at home because she was really tired. She was only 5 months at the time. Now she's 6 months. So we, the first day brought second day was Magic and Ollie. The first day was Jackson Poppy. So like I said, we had them on e-collar so we could work on a recall if another dog would come by, because it was really empty, which was nice. You know, we could hold on to their collars or put them back on leash while the other dog passed or while other people passed, because it was really dead, which, like I said, was super awesome. Bring a ball so we could play, preferably something that's not going to sink just in case it does go in the water. We'd like something that floats. And food pouches. We want our fanny packs or our treat bags with food in it for the dogs. So then we can reward them, we can work with them on, you know, heel, on sit stays and down stays for photos. We brought a beach blanket this time, one of those like sand cloud type blankets, so the sand's not supposed to get through as much, and it worked out really nicely. We brought that the second day this time, so we'd have the dogs come up with us, you know, onto the blanket and lie down. The day before, we just sat in the sand, and then they sat in the sand, and everything got all sandy. But it was fun, and because we were there at before 7 o'clock in the morning, and we were there until about 8 or so in the morning, we didn't need to bring, you know, there's doggles, doggy goggles. There's, you know, booties that you could bring if you're worried about the sand being too hot for your dog. There'd be life vests if you would want to bring those. Our dogs don't go, except for Bert, doesn't go out far enough for swimming. You know, we do have towels. We did keep extra towels for them so we could dry them off afterwards. And then we do have two crates in the Suburban, which is the vehicle that we took. We do have the two crates so we could put the wet dogs in the back in the crates so they don't get wet sand all over the car, because we don't want that. They got their feet wet this time. Bert went full on swimming. I was actually editing some videos from our trip last month for TikTok, and with him swimming in the water, he looks like the Loch Ness Monster. And I'm kind of like, maybe, because Golden's originated in Scotland, maybe that's all the Loch Ness Monster is a Golden Retriever swimming in the water, because that's what he looked like in the video. So, you know, follow us, check us out on TikTok, and see what you think, if you agree with me, that he looks like he could be a Loch Ness Monster. Nessie, or Birdie, he'd be Birdie. But yeah, and you only want to trust your dog as much as you trust your dog, you know. Even if, don't put your dog in a situation that he's not prepared for. So if you don't trust your dog to come back to you off leash, don't let your dog off leash if it's okay to let your dog off leash. You know, don't put your dog in those situations. Second day was really windy, which was neat. Oh, excuse me, that's a yawn. Second day was real windy, but we, you know, we just kind of took it easy. We walked the beach a bit. We played a little bit. You know, we sat, we got pictures. And we just had an easy training session, and it was a long training session because we were there for at least an hour, maybe an hour and a half, but it was easy. I mean, we didn't ask too much of the dogs, but afterwards, guess what? They were tired. So we went back to the house and potted them. You know, we potted them quite a bit. And of course we always have poo bags to clean up, because if they do poo, you must clean it up. None of this, well, he's a service dog, I don't have to clean it up. No, you must always clean up after your dog, no matter where it is. So, you know, of course we did that, had sunscreen for us, and went back, maybe swam in the pool for a little bit, had breakfast, and then whoever went to the beach got crate rest. I mean, Ollie didn't get crate rest. Magic got crate rest, and then the Jackson Poppy got crate rest, and then the other ones went out for whatever we were going to do, right? If we're going to go out for lunch, you know, then they would go out for lunch, and we just swap out dogs that way. Because one dog trying to say, okay, well, one dog can do everything. One dog's going to do the beach and then the pool and then go out and shop with us and whatever we're going to do. It's just too much for the dog. And sometimes we might have wanted to bring one of the dogs. You know, like Magic's only 6 months old now. So if we wanted to bring Magic, but she was tired, well, you know, let's look at it this way. Are we going to bring Magic, even though she's tired? Or are we going to let her stay home and rest, which is what she needs? So you've got to do what the dog needs, no matter what your plans were. If my plan was to bring Magic and she's too tired, I have to leave Magic behind so she can rest and so she can sleep. We want that. She needs to have her beauty sleep. And then she'll be ready to go maybe later on in the evening. Or maybe I'll change up my plans. And instead of going right now, maybe I'll take a nap too and go a little bit later. They did swim. We do have life vests. Magic was wearing it. But she was swimming a lot more this time than she did last time. Last time she was really hesitant on getting in the pool. And it is a... It's a private house, right? So it's not a community pool. Service dogs never swim in community pools. That's not good. Don't do that. But this being a private pool, you know, that's theirs, you know, the dogs swim in it or get carries in it. So they got swim time. Magic had the life vest on. All of them got in. All of them swam for a little bit. And it was fun for them. And afterwards, we dry them off. You know, they might drip dry some, but we still dry them off and we clean out their ears because they're golden retrievers, right? They've got floppy down ears, and if water gets in there, it could cause an ear infection, and we don't want that. So I always recommend talk to your vet and make sure you have something on hand so you don't have to wait for an ear infection and go in. We clean out their ears weekly at our house. Weekly, we do weights on all the dogs. We brush them all out good. We do their nails. We do their ears. And then as needed, they get baths. So like this coming back, now they just had the pool. They just had the beach and the salt water. So the dogs who went are going to need a bath just to get all of that off of them. If it's something like we have a pool at our house and they go swimming all the time, it's going to be a little different and we'd adjust it. But because we don't have a pool at our house, you know, we do want to wash all that off of them whenever we get back. You know, if we lived at the beach and we were at the beach with them every day and rotating out dogs, we'd probably do maybe a weekly bath or something. You know, just to, like I said, get all of that off. Get any sand that happens to be, you know, between toes or whatever else, you know, to just take care of removing all of that. And then being a beach town, because it was Cocoa Beach, you know, that area, apparently they've been having some issues with fake service dogs. So two of the restaurants that we went to, one of them was, I believe it's called Dixie Bell's, and we went in there and she said, you can sit wherever you want to. So we sat inside. They also had a patio, and then somebody came up, it must have been the manager, came up and said, oh, you have dogs, you, and they were vested, you know, with the Hope vests. And we had our, I think one or two of them had the Hope shirts on, Rich and Jamie. I didn't. I don't think I did. Anyway, she said, you know, with dogs, you have to sit out on the patio. And I'm like, they're service dogs. And she says, it doesn't matter. I said, yeah, service dogs can sit inside like this. And she said, well, we had a complaint from the health department, but I'm not going to argue with you. And she walked away. And then I felt like a heel. And I said, do we want to go over and talk to her now or after we eat? And they decided after we eat. So I said, okay. So when we were done eating, Rich went over and talked to her and explained, because we do have business cards that have the two ADA questions. What are those? Is that a service dog required because of a disability? And what task or work has the dog been trained to perform? Those are the two questions that businesses can ask. Now, it's not just businesses who can ask it, right? It's the gatekeeper for the business. So that doesn't mean every stock person and checkout person. It's like the manager or the door greeter, if there's still door greeters out there, right? It's not just every single person. So Rich went up and explained to her that, you know, businesses have rights. Here's our card. Here's our information. Here's the two questions that you can ask. And what he finds out is a couple weeks ago, they had a service dog, wink wink, who was in, and while the owner wasn't paying attention, the dog went and stole food from a neighboring table and ate the food that wasn't theirs from a neighboring table. And then the woman didn't do anything about it. And, you know, apparently she didn't think she should have to pay for it because, I don't know. I don't know why. Because she didn't order it? Well, then don't let your dog eat it. It'd be like if a kid came up and grabbed my plate and ran off, or, like, flipped my plate onto the floor. Like, I'm not paying for it. The parent's paying for it, right? The responsible party there is paying for it. And I think the same thing's true in this case. And apparently the health inspector was in, or came in because of it, and they got a write-up because of it. But here's my thing is, if they ask the two questions to every person who comes in with a service dog, is that a service dog required because of a disability? Yes. What task or work has a dog been trained to perform? And they tell them the task or work the dog has been trained to perform, you're golden. And then if the dog goes and he eats food from somebody else's plate and the health inspector comes in and tries to write you up, no, I asked the two questions. And, you know, because every place has video surveillance, here's the video surveillance of me asking the two questions. So I asked, you know, that's all I can do. I can't say demonstrate them. You can't say show me a doctor's note. You can't say, well, you don't look disabled to me, right? So that happened, and they were good, and the food was really good. We liked it. Then the next one we went to was Long Doggers, and that was the next day. And they had big signs, so we did sit on the patio there. They had indoor and outdoor seating, and the patio was cute, and it was real breezy that day. So we're sitting there, and there's big signs up, and I posted it up on social, and it's a great sign, and it says service dogs must be, you know, like not aggressive or rambunctious or something like that, under the table at all times, which is a little bit like, well, what if the dog's too big? The tables were big. The dog should not be in the aisle. That's what they're getting at, is the dog shouldn't be in the aisle. If we had the dog between the chairs, I don't think they're going to have an issue with it as long as the dog's in a down stay. You know, if the dog's bouncing up and down and he's going to visit people, it's a different story. That's what they're trying to curb, right? The dog must be on leash at all times. And then people, well, what if the tasks require the dog to be off leash? You guys know that leash laws still apply, right? So if there's tasks required, or for the dog's safety or the person's safety, you know, because I hear this a lot with the dysautonomia, that, well, no, my dog must be off leash all the time. If your dog can handle that and is good under signal or voice command or e-collar, and that's something that you do, but if you go down, then that dog is now unattended and he's not tethered. So what does he do whenever you go down? What I would recommend, if that was your situation, is a breakaway leash. Right? So it's a leash, and if you go down, excuse me, so you don't, you know, trap the dog with the leash or whatever. I use a hands-free leash, and I've never had a problem, even when I go down. But if you have the a breakaway leash or breakaway collar, then your dog will be fine. You know, and if your dog pulls too much, he's going to break it open anyway. Like, we use them with the puppies, right? Just so we can ID who's who. But if the dog, you know, can break away, but the dog still has to be under control. And so it was under the table. Oh, and you couldn't use their, what is it, servingware? Their glasses and plates and bowls and forks and spoons and knives and stuff, tableware, to feed or water your dog, which I think was an excellent one, because that's always the case. You never use their tableware for your dog. But what if my dog's thirsty? Then take your dog outside and give him water. I also never water my dog in a store or in a restaurant, because it could become a slip hazard. Well, I always clean up after my dog. So now you're bringing a towel with you. Like, just walk your dog outside and water him. Or if you can, I'll go into the bathroom, because they have the grates on the floor there. So I usually put the water bowl by one of those floor grates, you know, in case of overflow. Or they have paper towels there usually. Some of them are just, you know, blow me hands, but a lot of them have the towels, right? Or you can grab some napkins if you're like at McDonald's or whatever. But I never water the dogs out in common areas. It's either in the bathroom or it's outside. And I think it's respectful, right? And you don't want to create a slip hazard. And I saw it happen once. I was out at a restaurant, And the waitress had come over and said, you know, can I bring in, and someone with a service dog said, yes. And she brings a water bowl and puts it down and the dog drinks and slobbered it everywhere. Now, luckily, this was the seat that was at the end of the row. So there was no through traffic. The only people coming over to that table was, you know, the servers whenever they were bringing this stuff, but they still almost tripped and slipped and fell. And that's not good at all. Like, we don't want that to happen. You don't want to have a spill hazard. So we, you know, and oftentimes the servers will ask, you know, can I bring you something? You know, can I bring you something for your dog? Can I bring you a water for your dog? Can I bring you a bowl of water for your dog? And it's always a no. Heck, even whenever we go to, there's a restaurant in town here called Square One, and they have outdoor patio seating, and they're dog friendly on the patio seating. Okay. So they have a dog menu, and you could get like chicken and broccoli that's steamed and whatever. I still don't order for my dog there because my dog doesn't have to learn that, well, when we go out to eat, sometimes you will get your own bowl of food while we're eating. No, you will never eat while I'm eating. You'll eat afterwards, you'll eat beforehand, but it won't be at a restaurant while I'm eating. Okay? So we don't. Now, say your dog is thirsty and you forgot to bring water in your car. So we always keep at least one jug of water in the car, sometimes multiple. Sometimes we'll keep some small ones, you know, in a backpack or whatever also. But again, bathrooms have sinks. Sinks have water. At Disney, I will get cups of water, you know, for the dog. And when we're done eating, we'll go and we'll water the dogs, you know, we'll put them in the dog water bowls, or we'll, sometimes if it's one of those disposable cups, we'll let them drink out of the cups because it has ice in it and everything else. And it's not collapsible. The silicone bowls that we use when we travel are collapsible, which means if you get a dog who is enthusiastic about drinking, they could collapse it and spill the water everywhere. But depending, like I said, on the cup. So if you're, well, I need water for my dog. Can I get a water to go? And coming back to that point, right? I went a little off track there. It happens. Can I get a water to go? And then you get the water and you go out, you know, in the parking lot area and you water your dog, or you load your dog into the car and you water your dog. Not a problem with that, right? But you shouldn't be using tableware. The dog shouldn't be sitting in the seat beside you. He shouldn't go visit other people. And I know that's what they were trying to, you know, prevent from happening. So we had talked to them about it, and I said, I like your sign. You know, that's one of the better signs I've seen, because some of them will just say, like, no dogs allowed, and some of them service dogs only, but it doesn't give any more. So you get people, it's a service dog. You know, it would have been better if it would have said, here are the two questions, you know, like, be prepared to answer these questions, maybe, but then maybe it'll prepare people. I don't know. But according to what the server told us is a few weeks ago, maybe a month ago, one of the wait staff was bit by a service dog. Just bit her. And she didn't know what to do. So she didn't do anything. She didn't say anything. But, you know, she was bit. I don't know if the dog, I don't think it drew blood. And if it did draw blood, it wasn't, you know, a gash. It was more of a puncture. But like I said, I don't think it drew blood. She didn't report it or anything. I'm like, no, you should have kicked the person out. You know, like, if the dog's biting at people, that's not good. Where else did we go? Oh, we did miniature golf, which was the first time I've done miniature golf in a long time. And it was fun. We brought Poppy with us there. And we walked in. They have birds, because it was, what was it? Gator something. So like there were some gators, there was a tortoise, there was big birds, you know, not just like seagulls, right, but like parrots. Then they were in these big crates, cages. So when we walked in and we were, you know, after we purchased our rounds of golf, the person came up and she said she's the zoo person there, and she asked us the two questions perfectly. Jamie had the dog Poppy, it's one of his boarding trains, so Jamie had her, and he answered the questions beautifully and not a problem. And she told us, you know, there's birds right over here. Well, that was the start or the stop, because they had two 18 hole courses there. So, you know, like, we would have to see it either coming or going, you know, see the birds. But whenever we played the round where we ended up, with the birds. So I walked kind of in front, and so the birds wouldn't see the dog as much. And the birds were fine with it. They weren't stressed out. And there was no way we could just duck out and not be seen by the birds. You know, like, they knew that we were there. So we had fun. You know, it was a really good time. Poppy did great with miniature golf. It was breezy. That was the day that it was real breezy. And it was sprinkling just a little bit too, which was nice. So, you know, it worked. It worked out really good. We went to Ron John's and the Cocoa Beach surf place. We brought a couple of the dogs there, and they did super. But yeah, so we got, we wanted to do a little bit more shopping, but we didn't, you know, that was, I think, about all we did over the few days that we were there. But we had fun and we got the dogs out, and their safety and their training was of utmost importance. So, you know, that's what we really were focusing on while we were there. It wasn't a trip, you know, specifically for us. You know, of course, we got to go and have a good time, but we got to go and work dogs in a different environment, which is good that we have the ability to do that sometimes. Now, the other dogs that we have at the house here are just about 16 weeks old. They'll be 16 weeks this week. So they're a little bit young for something like that. We could have definitely taken them, but it would have been more on us. So they stayed at home with the crew and with Shane and with Sam and with Luke and with Amber. So it worked out really nicely that we were able to get away for like I said, just a few days. But it was good. It was relaxing. They have a patio, and I got to take a nap on the couch on the patio outside by the canal. It was super. The only issue is we didn't get to see any dolphins, and I enjoyed it. Last time we saw dolphins a number of times going up and down the canal. Where do you take your dogs on vacation? When you go on vacation, do you bring your service dog with you? We had a woman who, they would do cruises quite often. We're in Florida, so, you know, a lot of the cruise ships depart from here, and we don't have to do the flight to get here, so a lot of people do cruises. But she wouldn't take her service dog. She'd leave her service dog with us. We had trained the dog up for her. And I think the dog just passed away, like, last year. But she would leave the dog with us, so the dog would get a refresher and get, like, a little vacation of her own in the country, and they would get to go on their vacay. And it worked, right? So do you take your service dog when you go on vacation? Where do you like to go on vacation? And do you do anything special with your service dog while you're on vacation? You know, like taking them to the beach to swim, letting them, you know, do the pool and swim. You know, I find that enjoyable. We get some great pictures, we get some great videos, and the dogs just really have a really good time, which is what it's all about. So, wrapping up, this is Victoria Warfel with Hope Service Dogs. This is the Service Dog Success Podcast, and we have a link tree, and everything is available on the link tree, and that's linktr.ee/hope, H-O-P-E, and then the letter S and the letter D. So Hope SD, Hope Service Dogs. We have a website, hopeservicedogs.org, and we have this podcast. We have YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. We have different Facebook groups for the podcast and everything else. We are just pretty active on all social media because we want to share with you all things service dog, right? We're setting the standard for service dogs, and we want to share everything that we do with you so you can take it, do well, and teach others also. So what topics do you want to hear us address? Sometimes it's me, sometimes I grab one of my friends and we do it together. But what topics do you want to address? What's going on? And I will catch you guys next week.